Hey.
Wonderful.
Alan, I wanted to tell you, I won't be able to be on the call very long this evening. My daughter just got back from Minnesota just a few minutes ago, and there's some things I have to do for her this evening before it gets too late. So, but I wanted to come in and touch base.
Sure. That is no worries. I was going to have you sort of go over directors and limiters with people too, but we can always work on some of that next week, depending on how much people have done with that too.
Okay, I think next week we're actually writing our spell, aren't we?
Yeah. If people are ready to, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
It's the kind of process where it's pretty hard to write it if you haven't done your directors and limiters and test.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm hoping that will all work. Anybody else with us?
Hello.
Is that Sharon?
Yes.
Hey.
Hey.
Hi, Sharon.
Hi.
Wonderful. Well, then perhaps we should sort of charge ahead and see who else comes in. You know, and I'm excited. This is all working very nicely. So, Sharon, how did you enjoy being in the new Basic Magic class?
I really enjoyed it. I really did. As a matter of fact, I was going to comment on that when we got to talking about walking and listening.
Oh, good. I'll wait then and let you share it then.
Okay.
Okay. You all ready to, is the taping ready?
Yes.
The taping is ready?
Oh.
Okay. You all ready to bless?
Yes.
Child of wonder, child of flame, nourish our spirit and protect our aim. So, Ayla, are you going to be with us for a little while, or when do you have to leave?
Oh, about 15, 20 minutes.
Okay.
I've got some time.
Well, why don't you share first about in listening then, so that we can, you know, hear what you found.
Okay. It was so right on for me this week. It actually helped me see a lot of red flags on how to kind of go through my life. There's been a lot of things going on and a lot of information that I wasn't getting before. It was in listening really brought information and in such a way that I noticed what it was. I could see it and red flags about, well, not making that decision or not making that choice. So in listening made me feel more confident in myself and my intuition and my knowing to be able to hear things that were going on under the surface and be able to feel that. Mainly it was like with employment, with my tooth injury that I had last week, remember? Well, it got really bad after the call last week to where that it didn't get better till about Wednesday, and I just couldn't think for about 2 days. And but, you know, I got through that, but in listening was very, brought me a lot of information, and I think it was because I was in tune more, I was able to listen more, but at the same time, I was resonating with the rest of the universe to where that the information came to me so that I wouldn't make decisions that I would have regretted later because I didn't have the information. So, and things went real smoothly this week besides that. Well, even the tooth thing went real smooth because it just worked itself out in a few days. But I was pretty out of it for a few days. But I guess that's it.
You know, that reminds me a lot of owl medicine.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When you work with owl, oftentimes it's it increases the range and the scope of one's hearing immensely. You know, because owl is very generous about pointing out when people are lying or what people's motivations are and so forth. And it sounds like you really heard yourself, too.
Yes, it was Well, that was interesting because I was fooling around with my owl totem this week too. And the beautiful feathers that you had sent, and just kind of fooling around with that and kind of being with that. I don't know why.
Well, you probably some help from owls too. Is that
yeah?
That's what owl is really good at, you know. Cool.
It's really great.
Yeah, indeed. So Sharon, what was your experience?
Well, the first part of the week, and listening was a lot like acceptance to me. It was kind of difficult because it seemed like I was being pulled in so many different directions. And
you got it.
and Pat and I are still doing double time at work. And I think today I've been mulling around all week. You know, what do I want to do my spell on? And you know, which one do I want to do? And then I finally decided on one.
Good.
And then, in the few free moments I would have where I could actually listen to myself, you know, I would mull this stuff around. And then today in class, which was very helpful to me, it really tuned me into listening. Because I don't think I've listened all week. It's been too busy, you know.
It's me, right.
Okay. But what I got from that was to pretty much tune into yourself or your universal higher being. But I think the main thing I'm getting at, too, is sticking to the basics, you know, knowing the basics and really knowing them well.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a little surprised that I couldn't rattle off the 14 air characteristics.
Well, remember that, as we said, Basic Magic is a survey course.
Yeah.
And the whole idea is to teach us how to do all these operations so that you can at any time go back and do those operations. But at the same time, we did say that it is not expected that anyone will master, you know, any of it or all of it. So, I took this course 3 times before I ever taught it.
Oh, I can imagine. It's a lot of information. And then the inconvenience factor that was mentioned... doing the exit rituals, and my neighbors don't even pay any attention to me anymore.
Right.
Just ignore me. I mean, at first they're like, what are you doing, you know? And then they look for, you know, for a couple of weeks they look and shake their head. Now they don't even bother to look.
Yeah.
So they have accepted something that I do.
Right. Right, it's true, and the funny thing is if you put a lot of emphasis on being weird or
no, I'm not particularly being weird, but
no, I know, but
I like doing my exit rituals.
Right, but I'm saying that if you had have put a lot of emphasis on that, you would have attracted more of that, and they'd be nattering about you. But since you didn't, they're fine with it.
Yeah, they don't have any problem with it. So I did. Listen to that. That's something I did notice.
Yeah, well, that's good because you see, you're beginning to be able to sense the conditions around you, which you were already real good at. Your whole profession is based on that.
Right.
You know, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, in most Western medicine situations, the nurses are the people who know the most.
We're the eyes and the ears.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
The doctors are too tied to their, mm-hmm. What would you call it, their theories and so forth.
Mm-hmm. The nurses listen and the doctors talk.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really well put, Donna. And so... I think you've always had a real handle on things, and I think now you're getting like a bigger picture of.
Yes, it's like I've taken a baby step forward.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And of course, your life is going to enhance greatly as the result.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you know, it's good. It's a credit to your own commitment. You know, that you, when we first met, I saw that willingness in you. It really delighted me, that eagerness to have it all. And you will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Don.
The stories came from everywhere this week. People really shared their hearts with me, and I saw awe in my clients because they just told me what was going on. In fact, Sierra, the little girl that I've been working with, I went over last week and then this week to the two different households she lives in, and her father and stepmother were competing with her for my attention, and Sierra went out of the room and came back in an ace bandage wrapped around her arm, and we all turned around and looked at her, and she grinned and looked at me. And then later she said that she also had a goat. And what she liked about me is I listened to her, and I listened to what she's saying. And so what I saw with the ace bandage is that she is attached to getting the attention and having the control from having her illness.
Mm-hmm.
And so I told her, I said, I have a homework assignment for you. And she made a face, and I said, oh, let me rephrase that. I'd like you to do some research. Well, she smiled. And I said, I'd like for you to start seeing yourself as perfect. I'd like for you to see your lungs, and I said, this is just between you and me. And I'd like for you to start seeing your lungs and your heart as perfect. And I said, I want you to tell me what you think next week when I come to see you. And in that way, what I am trying to do is help her with this root cause that she showed me, that she's still getting attention and control from her situation. She also showed me her wheelchair. And it's a wonderful, very advanced electronic wheelchair. And she came in and was doing all this stuff in it. And I said, you know what the best thing about that wheelchair is? And she said, what? And I said, you don't need it anymore. So she likes me because she knows, you know, that I'm paying attention. And I thought it was also interesting that she said she had a ghost.
Right.
She says that every time... not every time, but sometimes, and this is at her father and stepmother's house, that when she leaves the room, somebody moves her things. Now, I didn't, you know, I will have to investigate that further, but I found that to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also worked with the double amputee that I'm trying to get his knee to unfreeze. They cut one leg below the knee and one above, and we're trying to unfreeze the joint in it where he can get his prosthetic leg on and kind of kick off and get up.
Right.
And I've been working with him, and I did a lot of things with him, and he's about to go to Austin and get physical therapy every day because he won't ever do the things he's supposed to at home. And I mentioned to him, you know, Dayton, if you would do the things that I asked you to do at home, you'd make a lot more progress. But then when he was talking, he said, well, goodbye, you've done, I know you did everything you could do. And I said, well, Dayton, I'm not willing to give up quite so easy, are you? And he looked very, very shocked. And I realized that on some level, the man really doesn't want to get up out of the chair.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And that's fine with me. I don't really care one way or the other. It's his decision, you know.
Right. You.
But I let go of my attachment.
Right, right.
By listening to it.
You can probably do more with the little girl.
Yes, exactly, because he's very set. He's at the end of his journey.
Right.
And he's looking for a way out.
Exactly.
I also heard from higher beings who were guiding me, mainly because I called out for their input. I did it in a different way, more than I've been doing with the exit ritual. I put it on a level of more intensity.
Okay.
And the reason I did this was Stephanie sent out an email about the Prime Directive that woke me up.
Okay.
The Prime Directive is that the higher beings can't come unless called. And what I realize is, okay, you know, that means that when called, they are more than happy, more than willing, terribly able to come and help me.
Right.
And so whatever I have, because my chiropractor, Rodney, also was working on me, and he said very quietly in my ear the same thing I say to other people sometimes, which is, if you so choose, you can let go of those things that are no longer serving you.
Right.
And the main thing that came up for me was struggle. And I went, you know, hey, I do not have to have a struggle with anything. And I can really use this as a prime directive and say, you know, I need some help, and I need it on these things, and I need it now, and I appreciate it. And I'm thankful for it. So 2 days ago, I did this call, and then I saw a double rainbow. It was so cool. I was just told to get up and go outside.
All right, okay.
You know, get up and go outside. And when I went outside, I hadn't seen a double rainbow in years, and it was the most spectacular one, and it was right over the area where I used to have my sweat lodge. And it was just incredible, and it stayed for a long time. And while it was there, I talked to the spirits, and I really told them what I wanted, what I needed, and I felt my wishes being granted, like, you know, the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
Right on.
And one of those wishes was to heal my family.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, as I mentioned in another class, but I met another one of my nieces, and I met her for the first time yesterday. She's 34 years old. She's the eldest daughter of my brother, who's in a mental ward. And we've been separated without contact for 32 years because the divorce was a bitter one. And she told me, as I listened, the story of her life and how she was raised by her Greek grandparents and her hopes, joys, fears, heartaches, wonderful things, talents, the way she's like me and my other niece, Jessica, and all the things that make her who she is. So now she's over at the apartment with my other niece, and she's reading some of my short stories while she takes a nice hot bath. And so she's listening to me in that way. And I also psychically heard from my brother today, you know, it's Father's Day. And I have both of his girls here with me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very, very happy that I'm with them. And it was just incredibly sweet, because one of the wishes that I have always had that I didn't feel like was being answered, but I probably wasn't asking it in the right way or something, but was to heal my family. And I feel it happening, and it's very, very powerful.
That's a lot of listening, isn't it?
It really is. I tell you, and even my clients, I mean, everybody just, they really told me everything. We got down to it.
Yeah, right. If, you know, should you want to, you could apply the same discovery that you've made, which is opening you up so much to the little girl.
Yes.
Even not so much verbally. There are certain things you could do verbally too, but just when you have those level of discoveries and then you think about her.
Yes.
You make a channel and she can start to pull that awareness in for herself.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And the keynote that she gave you
yeah.
was that she wants attention, okay?
Yes.
And verbally, you can let her know that there are far more satisfying ways to get it.
Yes, and that's exactly what I had decided when I asked her this week to debrief her research.
Right.
Is that I'm going to tell her, isn't it fascinating that you can receive so much attention for your perfection and your health and your vitality?
And that means how powerful she is.
Yes.
And if she's that powerful, how about doing some real demonstration?
Yeah.
You know, years ago I had an experience that I probably have told you all about, where I was dealing with a woman who was possessed, and she was self-possessed in some respects, and she was emitting straight pins, bent and curlicues, and spirals out of her mouth.
Yeah.
And after it was all done, and everybody was so shocked, and I said to her, you know, that's okay, but wouldn't gold coins be more effective?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to demonstrate, why not do it worthwhile?
Exactly. And see, the hit I got on the ghost was that it was a poltergeist, which is her own energy. You know, that kind of thing, that it wasn't something else. It was another way that she was using her energy in sort of a pesky way.
Well, she may be attracting a poltergeist.
Well, yes, she might be.
Because that often happens, particularly in a situation like that.
Yeah.
But you see, she's priding herself on her abilities. So use that.
Yeah.
Say, yeah, this is great. Now, what can you really do?
Yeah. And I told her, I'm planning very subtly, and she's very, very smart, so I have to be very subtle when I do it. But I said, you know, yeah, one of these days maybe your hands are going to be as big as mine.
Yeah, right on.
And then you can do some of the things, you know, basically showing her a paradigm of herself as an adult.
Yeah, I wouldn't even be subtle, sweetie.
Yeah.
I just say, hey, you're a healer, let's get going.
Yeah, well, I told her, I said, when you decide to get around to it, I've told her this several times, I said, I'll teach you what I know.
Yeah, right on. You're on the right track. That's great. Cool.
Yeah. And get her interested in some other, she's just too smart, and she's manifested this because she was getting shuffled aside because all the adults in her life were going off into various dysfunctional relationship.
Right on.
And she is now the controller of all of them. And I caught on this last time because she basically showed me.
Yeah, right. And you would not have seen that if you had not been listening.
Exactly.
Right. Very good.
And so I also got the hit of even talking about this pathway, because I have her picture above my massage table, and several times a day when I'm calling on the powers and everything, I also look at her picture, and I've got the sun candle going, and I put her in the sun candle every day.
Good.
So she's going to shift because she did ask me to help her. You know, so
watch it.
But I also realized that with my brother, you know, this is something, you know, you have always told me to start seeing him in a different light.
Right.
And today I had a conversation with his two daughters, and I said, you know, perhaps he's in a ecstatic reality, and that's exactly where he needs to be. And who's to say that that's not what is right for him in this lifetime? And we can still have a quality relationship with him. And they both grinned and smiled and said, yeah, we think so too.
Good.
Yeah.
Cool. So, Doc and Nanette with us?
Yes.
Yeah, hi.
Could you tell?
I could feel your presence. So, what was in listening for you, Doc?
Well, I listened to myself all week, kept myself out of trouble. First of all,
that's convenient.
Yes, it is. Second of all, with my clients, it was a lot easier to work with them, paying more attention, listening more intently to what they have to say, listen to the underlying things that they weren't saying. It seemed to be a lot easier to pick that up.
So what do you feel that tells you about other ways of communication?
Subliminally type?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it's out there. And if you just take the time to relax and listen, you'll hear it.
Right.
You'll be aware of it, I guess.
Right. Clues and symbols and demonstrations and all kinds of things that don't necessarily come through the words that people speak, but listening then is a much bigger arena than just the ears.
Yeah, it's more intuitive, past the senses type thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. In fact, I discovered that a long, long time ago, even as a child. I noticed that if I really looked at a person sharply, that I saw far more of what they were expressing than their words. I was also intrigued by the fact that often the words and what they expressed did not match. You know, And so, if you ever want an interesting experience in that, when you're watching movies on TV, turn the volume off. And watch the facial expressions and body language of people, and it's fairly bizarre. And the only reason we tend not to see it is we focus too much on the word. But when you watch them without the words, you'll notice that people, if you can slow down, i.e. see more clearly the expressions that people make, they're fairly grotesque. And they really speak. Is Nanette there?
Hello?
Hey! No worries. What did you find out within listening?
What came to mind was something that I knew this incredibly gifted psychic in Colorado. He told me one time that as gifts are developed, it's almost like at first, if the lightning strikes, it's all dark and rainy and you can't see anything, and then the lightning hits and for 1 second you can see clearly and then it's gone and you can't see anymore.
Yeah.
It'll be like a lightning strike, but it seems like it's on for 2 seconds. And then it'll be on for like 5 seconds. And then it'll be on for 10 seconds. You know, you will have longer moments of clear perception.
Yeah. That's a nice analogy.
Yeah, more seconds of clarity.
And did you actually experience that?
When I would put my mind to it, yes, and then I'd realize how I get distracted into chores and, things that need to be done and distractions. Just trying to be productive and get things done.
Isn't that interesting that we have these two sort of realms that we live in?
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like so much of life for so many of us is in that what you call distracted realm.
I can, look at my to-do list and say, oh my gosh, there's 90% of it is done.
Sure you can.
And I can say, what a productive day, but then I forgot to do that exercise, or I forgot to do that walking of my listening, those, like all afternoon, I forgot, remembered it in the morning, forgot all afternoon because I was busy.
Yeah.
You know?
What do you imagine would be the thing that satisfied you the most at the end of this life when you looked back, that you got your to-do list done?
Well, yes and no. emotionally satisfying, but if I do that, then that means things that have to be done, like the car gets gas in it so I don't run out and, you know, get stuck somewhere. Or,
sure.
You know, bills get paid, so, you know, we don't have, you know, this or that problem from them not being paid. I mean, it just keeps life running.
It does. There's no question of that.
Right.
You're right.
Yeah, it's just a matter of, you know, being able to balance the two.
Right, right. And, you know, most of that which you speak of does not actually require a huge amount of our focus, at least not at a very high level.
Like listening becomes really like, well, pay attention, like see or watch something. So I was watching people's body language a little bit more this week and paying more attention to body language and, you know, what people were gesturing when they were talking about certain things. And but I think maybe more the bulk of my attention was more on, well, how am I coming across when I'm saying something? I'm noticing habits and I don't know how they're being perceived by others.
Mm-hmm.
A business idea, and it would involve being seen, you know, by a lot more people. And, you know, I just started thinking, well, how would I come across in this situation, in this business situation here, you know, thinking, rolling into a corporate environment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just started wondering about coming across that way and, you know, body language, and is there anything I need to sharpen or hone when I'm dealing with more of a corporate, you know, clientele. It hasn't happened yet. It hasn't come to pass yet, but it's something that I'm thinking about in terms of, you know, how do I present this? Or how do I present this in the best light to a group of people that may be completely unfamiliar with this? So, you know, yeah, I've been looking at other people, but I've also been more wondering, well, where's my mirror? You know, how am I coming across when I try to tell people who know nothing of Rolfing what it is?
Well, your very questioning of that is listening.
But I'm also thinking more like, well, how does it look?
I understand that.
How much how does it sound, but how does it look? Well,
no, listening is not just sound.
So that's kind of where it's been for me, more questions, really.
No, but they're really good questions.
Yeah.
And you see, by asking those questions, you are summoning your own mirrors.
Yeah.
And that's very empowering. Because I don't know that any outside person could tell you as accurately what you want to know. And I think that would be a very good avenue for you, because I feel you have a very powerful authority about you which reads well in any level, whether it's corporate or not. Well, it's just what I see. You're welcome.
This is Ayla. I'm going to have to go, but I'm really glad that I got to hear everyone's exit ritual debrief. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
And I'll catch up with you guys next week.
All righty, Ayla.
Good night,
Kayla. Bye-bye. So, that's you all did really well with that. That's impressive. So, did anyone get directors and limiters written?
I didn't write them.
Doc, you want to talk about yours?
No, I said I did not.
You did not?
No, I
did a few.
Okay, so you chose, well, let me back up. I probably put it too, I went too far. Did anyone choose a spell topic? I know you did.
That's the hardest thing.
Actually, Ellen, I have had ideas, and I wanted to kind of run them by.
Good. That's a good place to start.
I mean, maybe they sound stupid or something, but, you know, it was, when I thought of them, I almost laughed and said, no, that's really stupid. But I thought, okay, sometimes it's worth a shot.
Don't qualify your own question. Just go ahead and ask.
It would be outrageously funny then. But what if you were to do something like, I was thinking about, I had this vision, this picture. I was, you know, keying, I was remembering when I was keying my deck. And I thought, what if I were to key a stack of $100 bills? I put them on the plate and keep them? Do they come back to you then, or what? I mean, what happens when you do something?
Well, it's no more effective than just saying, putting "I want money to come to me" on a plate, but that's not a very effective. Those spells can work, but that is sort of a not very carefully worked spell.
Uh-huh.
The more energy you put into a spell, the more that it works. So I'm not saying that wouldn't work, but I'm saying that is no more effective. That's just another type of simulacral magic,
uh-huh.
You know. But you also said that you had topics for a spell?
Yeah, creating money.
Okay, good. That's a fine topic.
Right.
So then, now you have a topic, and then you do a reading on it. That's how you start.
Okay.
And then you do a reading first on money, your situation with money, and then a reading on doing a spell for money. I would keep it yours because, you see, if you bring Doc into it, then you have a more complex factor to deal with.
Okay.
And it's easier starting out to keep it sort of simple so that you understand the readings better, you know, and the factors. So just do it on yourself and money, you know, but either like either the tentative or the... Ace of Discs, either one.
And that would be the signifier?
For money. And in regards, how are you either, which sounds more right to you? How are you affecting it, or how is it affecting you? For getting it, you probably want to know how you're affecting it, don't you think? You there? Did I lose you guys?
No, I'm still here.
I think we lost Nanette.
Yeah.
Doc, are you there? Nope, lost Doc. Sharon? Oh dear. Wonder what happened. I wonder if something knocked out the whole state of Florida. The phone system.
Well, haven't we had an interesting night, phone-wise?
Yeah, really? Oh, dear. Well, since we'll hope that they'll get back in, did you find a topic for a spell?
Yes, I did. I want to do it on the success of Above and Beyond, the bed and breakfast.
Oh, cool, cool. Very good. Very good topic. So then you would do a reading, of course, on the business.
Yeah.
Did you do that?
No.
Okay. And then you would do a reading by putting the Magi on top and to the right of that and see, not only would a spell make it, you know, help, because more than likely it would, but what are the factors? That initial reading does give you some of the factors. So, anybody back with this?
Yeah, we got back. I don't know what the hell happened.
I don't either. I wonder if all...
I'm back, too.
Yeah, I wonder if all of Florida got hit.
Wow, cool.
Yeah, really.
And that will be back in a moment. She had to go take care of some business.
Oh, okay. so, Dawn has picked a good spell topic, which is for her new bed and breakfast massage business. And I think that's a great topic, and we've just been talking about how to set up the readings. And then, Doc, you said you hadn't picked a topic as yet?
Well, I kind of have.
What would that be?
It has to deal with a situation with my daughter.
Okay. Is it something you can talk about openly, or...?
Yeah, it's not a big... You know, I want to... let's see, the person that I had this child with just will not let me see her.
Oh, right. Okay.
And, no matter what legal steps I've taken.
Oh, that's a good... That's a cool... I like
while I was there.
I like that because it's something that you've tried everything else, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've gone to court.
Right, so this is a great one. I did one like this myself for a friend. Would you like to know the results of it?
I bet it was great.
Well, would you like some of the background?
Absolutely.
Okay. He was in a very similar situation up in Canada in Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
And the courts, there was a woman judge who always rules in favor of women, which makes sense. And it was a dispute between he and his ex-wife. And he was paying a lot of alimony, almost crippling amount already.
Okay.
Oh, good. And so he wanted, and there was a court case set up, and he wanted a spell set up that would help him win, or at least get not penalized more. So he'd be paying more alimony, which she didn't really need. She wasn't hurting or anything. And also the same thing you're talking about, that he had very hazy, if at all, visitation or rites. And so we set up a candle spell, and I taught him how to do it, and he did it. And he went to court, and he won hand over fist. It was amazing. Not only did the female judge rule heavily in his favor and reduced his alimony payments by half, but gave him, like, complete carte blanche as far as with his kids and so forth. So I think that that's a great topic, okay? And it's not outside of the possibilities of a single candle spell. So what you want to do is first read on the situation, you know, and that's a little complicated, right? So
yeah.
What I would suggest you do is use the Emperor card as the situation. Do you see what I'm getting at?
Mm-hmm.
Since the Emperor deals with man's law and the customs and traditions and so forth and so on, you know, you've got a situation that is sort of tied up with a lot of that, right? Okay, so key the Emperor to be that situation on your plate, okay? And then do a reading, 12-card reading on that to see what are the factors, because there may be some factors you're not aware of, okay? And that'll kind of sort of flush them out of the bag. And it's also good to do one progressed line at least on these kind of readings because it helps get a little idea of where it's going in the future. Then put your magician card on top and to the right of the Emperor and do a second reading. So you see, okay, now how's the spell going to affect this? And progress that one or two lines too into the future. And then you got something to work on, because you see, otherwise, you don't really know enough necessarily to write proper directives and limiters, right? Because you don't know all the factors. You know some of the factors.
Right.
It's not that you can't write some of it, but there are probably going to be some hidden factors that may surprise you. And like I say, if you need help with the readings, fax them to me or email them, whatever. But it really would help me if you guys will use that form that Stephanie sent out.
Right, we make copies of that.
Good, okay. And I can read them faster that way. And I'll help you. But that's how you want to proceed. It's a great topic, Doc.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yep.
So, Nanette, where were we? Oh, right, right. Well, because how money affects you, you kind of already know, don't you?
Well, I tend to think if it doesn't affect me, I just need to use it. You know?
Well, if it didn't affect you, you'd probably have all you wanted. it is because of how it affects us or we affect it that we have what you call any concerns with it. I mean, nobody, in other words, the universe is not withholding your supply. Unless you think the universe is withholding your supply.
You know, in terms of how I affect it, I see that as maybe I affect my own cash flow, but how it affects me, it seems like it's just a thing.
Yeah, right, that's what I'm saying. I don't think it would be that useful to do a reading on how it affects you.
Yeah, I think it's more like how I affect my own cash flow.
Right, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Right. So, in that case, you would take the ace or the ten of discs and put your signifier to the right on top of it.
Okay.
And that would give you your base reading. And like I was just telling Doc, you may see some surprises there. But it's useful because if there's something hidden that you're not aware of, it could show up in the reading, and that could help your spell, doing your spell a lot. And then you do the Magi on top of those, too, to see, okay, how will a spell affect that situation? And then from the information of both readings, you should have everything that you need to write your directives and limiters. Now, the beauty of this is, if it were just like as simple as the world seems to think it is, i.e., if you push hard enough, you'll get the money you need type thing, or keep your nose to the grindstone and all that, then this probably would not be necessary. But if it were that, you probably would have resolved that a long time ago. So, inevitably, it is something that we don't realize, that we're either in our beliefs or whatever, or our value systems or whatever, that is affecting our own flow to us, you know. And so once you see what that is, then you have much more information in terms of how to write these directives and limiters. Now, obviously, if it's something that you're doing in terms of a belief or an old pattern or whatever to inhibit, you can't make the spell correct that. Do you understand? Because that would be an enforcer. Do you know what I mean? Whoops. Did they disappear again?
No.
No.
Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Oh, okay. So my question would be then, the reading would reveal if I just have a belief that needs to be dealt with.
Which you could deal with.
Okay, that I could deal with.
Right. Which you wouldn't want to write that into the spell.
Right. That's just something I would deal with, but then the spell would deal with the other elements.
That's right. That's right. But there may be some hidden factors that are not just yours, too. And the readings will show that. And then those things you can put into the directives and limiters. I mean, that's really weird stuff when you start opening these windows, so to speak.
For example?
Oh, I had one guy that had a spell matrix on him for hundreds of lifetimes.
Oh, okay.
It was crippling in terms of his ability to make money. That had been put on by some magician a long time ago when a lot of that was happening and just never gotten taken down. But once taken down, it took all that restraint off. I'm not saying you have that. I'm just saying that that's why we do these readings, and we find out what we couldn't know or didn't know. Sharon, your turn. Or any other questions, Nanette? Are you clear how to go from here?
Yes. Queen of Swords on top of that.
Right.
And then do a 12-card spread.
Right.
Or actually, it's a 24-card. And, you know, that would be the past, the present, and the future.
And our progressed future.
Then take away the past, put that in the deck, shuffle, and then do another future one.
Right. That's right. Right.
So that would be a progressed future. And then look at it. If it makes sense, great. If not, just fax it to you and go from there.
Well, and so you got the one reading, that's your base reading, and then you put the magician card on top of those.
On top of the Queen of Swords.
And the Ace of Discs or the
Ten of Discs.
Right. Okay, that's fine. And then
shuffle and do another reading.
Yeah, do a reading with a progressed future on that one.
Okay.
Yeah, so we have the two to compare.
Okay.
That's it. You got it. And some of the directions and limiters will be obvious. So whatever is obvious to you, write those down on the reading and send that to me so I can look at all of that, you see?
Okay.
It just gets us there much quicker. Sharon.
I think I'm confused here. When we decide on the purpose of our spell,
right.
Are we not to do a reading on ourselves to see if we're ready to give a spell?
No. No, you do a reading on the topic of the spell.
Okay.
Because, see, it's not, nothing can tell you that you are ready or not ready.
Okay.
That's a choice. That's all.
Alrighty. Okay.
But, say, what would you like to do a spell on?
Well, initially, I wanted to do one on getting the OR up and running.
Cool.
But I got to looking at that, and there are so many factors involved. It would be a very complicated spell.
Okay, so you would rather do a more simple one to begin?
Yeah, well, it would have to be broken down into a series of spells, I would think.
No, actually, it would be what's called a multiple candle spell.
Yeah, because there's multiple issues that have to be resolved before it can be gotten up and running.
Right, that's what you use for, which we'll go over next week, is what's called multiple candle spells. That's where you have a cluster of spells, okay?
Okay. So what I was thinking about, I received a phone call today from an old, when I worked in home health, an old patient. And he lives alone. He's sitting on very valuable property, and he's being harassed. You know, they want his property.
Sure.
And they're doing things to him that, you know, he's an old man that he finds scary.
Right.
And he called me today and wanted to know if I would help him.
That's a good topic.
And so I thought I would switch to that.
Okay. So
if I couldn't help, you know, get rid of these people who are bothering him. I'd not get rid of them, but have them stop what they're doing.
Yeah. There's several ways to do that.
Okay.
Okay. One way we haven't covered yet, but we'll cover it in the last class, which is not that far off.
Okay.
And that's called a chalice and plate protector. And if you want to look at your notes ahead at that, you can.
Okay.
Not that difficult to do.
Okay.
We generally like to use like a little cheese dome and plate for that, or you know how at yard sales you can often find these sort of glass dome covers?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. They work, or you can get them at flea markets or maybe even Walmart or something.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
Okay. You can key those as a chalice, and then you just put them on a plate. And then you make a simulacra for the person, which we will learn how to do in the last class. It's really easy.
Uh-huh.
And you silver foil, well, it depends. There's several ways. If you've got a group of people like this that are attacking your person, you can put all of them under the chalice and the plate with aluminum foil enclosure. So it's like in a mirrored container.
Mm-hmm.
And then you key it to keep their energies in that container, which reflects back on them, but can't get out and hurt him.
Okay.
That's called a talisman plate protector. You can use it either unsilvered to protect him, or you can use it silvered to lock them in it, you know.
Uh-huh.
But in the meantime, you can do a single candle spell to help him either sell his land, if that's what he wants to do.
No, he wants to stay there.
Oh, well, he wants to keep it.
Yes.
Okay.
Building all around him these big, expensive homes.
I see. So what would he want other than that protection? What would he need? Anything?
No, all he needs is for them to quit, you know, messing with his locks on his freezers, doors, trampling down his, I mean, just off the wall stuff, trampling down his garden, letting his animals out.
Okay, well, you could do a single candle spell to make him stronger in his own rights, couldn't you? In other words, to help him be more, say, capable at taking care of himself.
Uh-huh.
Which, because if that one group is trying to get it away from him, other groups may try later on, too.
Absolutely.
You know, so it would be good for him to sort of, you know, get better, say, fiercer in just sort of keep, you know, not giving in to fear and so forth.
Well, is there some way his family thinks he's crazy, that he's imagining this stuff? But I know when I took care of him that I saw the evidence.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
Yeah.
That's why I say, because there's so many factors working against him,
uh-huh,
and you can't put all of them under a chalice.
Uh-huh.
So even though you can put that group under a chalice and that will help, I think the primary thing is to make him stronger and clearer. And he's asked you for help, so you have a right.
Right, he sure did.
Okay, so then the way you test that is you do a reading first on his situation.
Okay.
Okay? So you can do it several ways. You can simply do a reading on his signifier. You know, do you know his birth month? Or, I mean, his...
Call him up real quick and find out.
Yeah. Find out what his date of birth is, and then you know what a signifier is, and do a reading on him.
Okay.
And then you're going to propose your spell to help him be stronger and more clear, which is like a healing spell.
Uh-huh.
And so then you put the magician on top of his signifier. You're going to do a spell for him. Right. And that's your second reading. And then you get to see what are the factors and how does he need help. And that way we can determine what the directors and limiters would be. I mean, some of them are obvious. Even, in fact, you probably can, in the limiting part of it, use the spell to limit the intervention of other people. So you can put part of that in the spell, which will help already, which will just sort of make him stronger, too.
Right.
You know. So, you know, these are all good things you all are talking about. These are, they're not typical things that people generally ask for, but they're very good. You know, and I've done spells like this, you know, so they work well. So no problem. So you know how to proceed?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And so I think we've covered everybody, but if you all have questions as we go on, please ask them. Because the first thing, of course, is to write those directives and limiters after you've got your readings, and then test them with a reading, which we talked about last week. And then the next step is, how do you convert that into a spell? Okay? So, there is a video clip about carving candles, so you get to see more about that. But the process is, after you have gotten your directives and limiters where they are workable, then you have to convert that into the actual verses of the spell. And you don't want to get too flowery in your verses, but you want to be succinct. You want them to state what it is you want to do. Because you see, the verses are what is going to carry the energy. If you just read your directives and limiters as you lit the candle, it would not create much force. There's no sonics there, and there isn't the energy you need. And everything you do in regard to the spell builds this energy. When you think about it, when you work on it, it doesn't have to be all done at once. Even the carving of the candle and the anointing can be done at different times, but when you work on your spell, keep your focus there, not on other things, because all of that goes into the spell matrix. So, now the quickest way to convert, and I'm going to read you, you've got them in your notes, and there's some corrections I need to give you on the spell versus the sample ones, but, and I'll tell you how they work, too. But the easiest way is, once you've written your directives and limiters, you just take a color pencil or a pen and you underline keywords or key phrases in your directives and limiters that seem to be the significant features that are important. And then when you write your spell verses, these are the things that go into the verses. And it tells a story. And rhyming couplets is the easiest way. And watch your meter, that it stays consistent or changes for reason, not haphazard. And then after you've written what you need there, the end verses generally are, as is in your notes, spell will spin and spell will grow, or go, till all be done and it be so. That's your last couplet. So, now, in terms of a money spell, if you look on page 113, this is one that was written in 1990. There's a word wrong. I'll give you the correction in the last stanza, which is not ring the money, but bring the money. Okay, so summon the true force that flows through all. Allies unite to respond to my call. With power I ask and send the spell into the world with tones as clear as a bell. Money shall come with no delay. From whatever sources, tribute pay to greet spirit, angels, all who will bring success into my life, your praises to sing. No harm, no regrets will others need to see. Money now can come easy and free. To my career, old debts now to pay, a house to afford where I can stay. In hope and courage I do my part. To honor ancient dreams, my new life will start. Bring the money I see now I deserve. May my new life this universe now serve. Now if you notice, there is not an enforcer in this, but there is acknowledgement of my part versus the spell part, or the doer's part versus the spell part. Because in that, bring the money I see now I deserve. You see? So if we were creating a spell and you saw in your readings, part of the problem was your own sense of non-deservedness, you can't make the spell change that. But you can use that willingness to change that in the spell to release that force that was limiting. Everybody get to understand what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay. In the healing spell, the candle spell called Heal Tether, Tether is my dog, there's also a correction there on the third to last line. So on this earth, not plan, but plain. To heal Tether and keep her well, I burn this candle and do this spell. Angels and guardians, grandmother too, stay with her, help her, this ordeal to go through. Divas and dog spirits, do your magic well. So on this earth plane, she shall long dwell. Show her our love, all her doubts put aside. Be again the priestess and travel at my side. Well, this spell was done a long time before she actually died or transitioned, and she's still with us. She speaks to us daily and has worked tremendously with Stephanie, and so that's how effective that spell was. You see, and sometimes it goes way beyond what you think it does. Let's see. In the house finding spell in the end of the first stanza, all our needs be met, our state wishes do, our stated wishes do. that spell, by the way, that's a really cool one. The situation behind this was, we had a house we all lived in Boulder, and we fixed it up, and the landlord promised us he would not sell the house or do anything, or, you know, if we fixed it up. So we fixed it up, had it insulated, did everything, and he turned around and kicked us out and gave the house to his son. And I was in New York at the time, and when we found this out, and they had to find us a house. We had a month to find a house, and I couldn't help because I was in New York on a business trip and for 2 or 3 months, and so I did the spell. To find a house quickly, I do the spell. Build the energy, spread the work, the word, that should be. Not work, word. My allies tell, as candles burn, so start this magical force. Fulfill directives and limiters. Go to the source where help is ready to see this project through and all our needs be met, our stated wishes do. A house for rent, spacious and well-kept, clean. In April, be available by Betsy and David can be seen. 4 bedrooms at least, and bathrooms 3 or 2. Spacious yard, safe for Tether, and quiet with a view. Large kitchen, family rooms, a sacred place to be, for Tether our friends and each of us 3. A place for ritual, woodworking, and for my work, where who we are and what we do causes no one irk. For 2 years minimum, exceed not 1,200 monthly to pay. Agreeable landlord or lady, happy for us to stay. Help Betsy and David to carry on their search, so as of May 1st, we have a new place to perch. Work like a charm. 5 blocks away, they found a house that met every one of these requirements. So does this give you all some ideas of how you would convert from directives and limiters to verses? So everything gets mentioned that is important, and of course, you don't want a lot of stuff in there that isn't important. And then from that, so once you've written your verses, then you go through the verses and you underline the significant issues. And that's what you design into your candle. Because your candle has to reflect all of this by symbols. And you carve your candle with a keyed tool. You key it exactly like in a thumb. And it's in your notes. It tells you all about that. The best tools that I have found you can get at either Tandy Leather or Michael's. But you can actually make your own if you're clever. And it's just like this. All you want is a wooden handle tool that's easy to hold in your hand with like an ice pick point coming out of it. But you don't want the ice pick point part. So what you would do is take some, either a hacksaw or something, and cut it off on an angle. So that instead of a round shaft, now you've got like an oval tip. Do you all understand what I'm saying? And then clean it up with a file or something, because that will carve candles the best. A point is not useful. You can't control it with a candle. And when you get ready to carve it, you carve it first, and then you anoint or paint it, as it's called, or you paint it, which is called anointing it, second. So once I know what symbols I'm going to put on there, and there's a, we're going to talk about that in a minute. And you want a candle that's fairly high beeswax, because those are carvable. Whereas a high paraffin candle will not carve, it shatters. But the high beeswax are easy to carve. But you draw your symbol on with a Sharpie magic marker, they work pretty well, and then you carve it lightly at first and deepen the carving by restroking it a number of times. So you make a trough for the paint to lie in. It's an art, but anybody can do it, you know, and you get better at it as you go. And you can use normal type candles or pillar candles. If you like big things to carve on, use a pillar candle. But put a line around it about halfway up, so use the upper part for your spell, so you don't have to blow the whole candle for one spell. Now your symbols, you've got pictures of all of these, and I'm sure on the video it shows them even better. Also, a good source of symbols, by the way, is the deck by Jamie Sams called The Spirit Path Cards. There's some really nice symbols on there, like their air symbol, her air symbol. We actually use on our Prosperity Bounds website, I use part of it. I mean, the whole, I use that plus many other things, but so what you do is you stack your symbols going up the candle, connected by arrows. And so your bottom symbol, what's called your base symbol, reflects the entire issue of the spell. And then it goes up to more specific issues as it goes up. Okay, so like for Nanette, for the money spell, I would tend to use that symbol that is on the tarot for Earth, the disc, the five-pointed star surrounded by a circle. That gives you a good all-over mundane and spiritual level symbol. Because if you just use a mundane symbol, that's okay if there's no spiritual issues involved. I.e. the mountain symbol, as you'll see in your notes, is for physical Earth. That's really good for healing spell, by the way. But the dis symbol is, I would preferably use if there are spiritual issues involved that are obvious. Or the chalice, or the athame, or the wand. Those are your spiritual level symbols, the tool symbols. Whereas the cloud symbol is air for mundane air, more mundane parts of air. The fires, the burning or campfire symbol for fire. The waves for water, and the mountains for earth. Some of the miscellaneous symbols, the carrier symbol you won't need at this time. That's for tarot spells and more complex spells. The sun symbol, the moon symbol, and the lightning bolt are all described in your notes as to how to use them. So you can put dollar amounts if it's a money spell as you work upwards, or time when it's to arrive by, or completion date. Like I say, you look at your verses and you pick out your most significant issues, and those you symbolize on the candle, because that's where you build the real force when you burn that candle. And you say your verse. It's a whole cooperative effort. So, any questions or comments to this point? Sharon?
No, I'm following here.
Doc? Doc gone to bed? We lose them again? Yeah.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Where does one get beeswax candles?
Any candle store. If you get either colonial candle, I'm talking about the makers, they are high beeswax. The way you find out is you take any candle and turn it upside down. I wouldn't do it in front of the clerk. And press your fingernail into the base of the candle. And the reason you do it upside down on the base is because it doesn't harm the candle, you know what I mean?
Right.
If your fingernail goes in pretty easy, that's a high beeswax candle. If you can't get it in at all, that's a high paraffin candle. So what happens is with the softer, which are the beeswax candles, you can carve them easily without your carving tool skidding. With the harder candles, it's really difficult because they won't carve. They're too slick.
Do they need to be a special color or something?
Well, that's all covered in your notes. It depends on the nature of the stuff. But your symbols carry much more weight than the color of the candle itself. So I preferably, with a single candle spell, would go with a white candle. One, they're easy to find. You don't have to worry about the tone of the color. And then you put your symbols on to designate what you want it to do. And that ride, that has much more force. And so once you selected the symbols and then you think of the colors you're going to put them, you do a drawing of it. Because that gets all tested along with your verses. Your final reading is on the verses that you've written and the carvings, plan of the carvings of the candle all at once. And once you get the hang of it, it's really easy to tell how it goes. But remember, now this is where we said that spell work is the culmination and the use of everything you've learned. So when you're deciding, okay, so I've got a mountain symbol at the base, say, and then I'm going to go an arrow up to say, say it's a healing spell. I got mountains to heal the physical body at the bottom, and then I want to put the person's name next. Fine. And then I want to put the sun symbol for a lot of good sun energy for the healing. Fine. Okay. The colors that you use cannot contradict the elemental intermix rules that you learned. You can't say, for instance, on the mountain symbol, since that's earth, you may want some greens and some browns. You may also want sun yellow. You could not put on red orange. Anybody could tell me how come?
Because that would create that fire energy. That would be pain.
Well, it's not just that it would be pain, but red orange cannot, that color energy cannot penetrate earth.
What
penetrates earth?
Water.
Right. And sun yellow. That's the only color that of fire that can penetrate Earth on its own. Remember, you can send healing to a person without asking their permission if it's sun yellow?
Mm-hmm.
That penetrates Earth. But if you want to have, in order to put red or red orange or yellow orange on the mountain symbol, what would you have to put on along with the green and the brown? Sharon?
I'm thinking here, if we wanted to put the mountain symbol on with the,
it had,
green and the brown.
Right, and you wanted red on there.
You want blue.
Yes, exactly. Because water allows fire to enter earth.
Right.
Okay. Right. Because water carries fire. And water penetrates earth. Exactly. And the same way with your arrows going up. Don't contradict from one symbol to another with a color of arrow that would not allow one element to flow into another. So you just think of all these rules as you're working. Because if you do it wrong, it'll show up in your tarot reading. So this is where it's really fun, because you really get to see how all this works. Now, as your notes will tell you, aside from just the symbols and the colors, the anointing as we call it, the coloring of the symbols, you always carve first and then color, you can anoint with all kinds of other things to modify the whole condition. And this is where your skills really come into place. Now, just working at the level that you're doing, this is not necessary to do, but it would not be appropriate for me not to tell you about it. You can use every kind of liquid that you can think of, or essential oil, like Tabasco sauce, Worcestershire sauce, any of the essential oils you buy at the health food store, or whatever, they all are elemental mixes and can be used to anoint, to put varying, differing kinds of energies into that spell. Would be the last thing that you did, and you generally wipe very carefully from base to tip of whatever that element or that liquid was to be. I.e., if you wanted a lot of heart energy in a spell and you had not like included it that much with the symbols and so forth, like for the guy you're working for, want to do the spell for, Sharon? You could actually anoint the candle after everything else is done with lavender essential oil, which increases heart energy. It would give him courage. You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Strong-hearted. and that will affect. So there are so many ways to do these operations. It gives you just variety. And that's why magic is the kind of science it is, because when you get to this level of work, there's a lot of choice making to it. But in your first spell, keep it simple. Don't use too many symbols, so you don't have to be carving way into the night hours and so forth, but enough to make it work. And as it says, you don't have to complete the carving and anointing process all at once. You can work on it, put it away, work on it, put it away, until it's done. Okay. So, say that you've gotten all of that done. You've done your readings on the directions and limiters, and that looks fine. You've made your modifications and so forth. It's now workable. You've written your verses and done your proposed candle carvings and anointings and done your readings on that and a few modifications, and that looks really good. And you're ready to do your spell. You've carved your candle, keyed your carving tool, carved your candle, anointed your candle. And you're saying, okay, so now when do I do my spell? Okay. So on page 122, it talks about that. As to the moon cycles waxing or waning and so forth, you can pick the time or the time of day that is most effective for the kind of spell you're doing. If it's something you want to increase, you know, it would be good to do it, particularly increase intensive outward energy, sun energy, do it before noon, as the sun is going to the zenith. If it's something you want to decrease, such as a tumor, do it when the sun is below the horizon, waning, or absent. If it's about emotional things having to do more with the moon, then you consider its waxing or waning. Does not mean you've got your spell ready and you really want to get it going, and somehow the phase of the moon isn't right. Doesn't mean you can't do the spell. You can try and get the time of day to help. It just means it is going to require more energy for the spell to work than if you got your timings to help you do the best you can do. And you do not, and you generally would put your candle in a candle holder on your keyed plate, because that protects the spell. And you want to do a four-element cleansing of the room or the house before you do it. You want everything to be as powerfully for you as you can. This is spell work. This is the way you do it. And there's a lot of other additional notes. If you think the spell will hit resistance, put a ring of sea salt around the candle or the plate, on the plate. The plate itself will ward off most resistance. And record everything that you do in regards to that spell in your Book of Shadows. Not the same Book of Shadows that you record your tarot readings, a separate book. Because if you need to take that spell down, you have to replicate it just as you did it. For that reason, when you actually burn your spell candle, you don't burn it all the way down. You only burn it for about a half an hour. You can burn it more than once, in several days in a row if you want, or weekly, but you burn it only in half-hour increments. You don't want to burn your carvings off. So I like to leave plenty of space between the last carving and the top of the candle, about half the candle, if I can, and then put that arrow to the top a long arrow to the top, because if that burns off, that doesn't matter. So, you're ready, everything is ready, you've recorded everything you've done, the verses and the candle carvings, and you're ready to do your spell. You're sitting in the style facing north, it's on your altar, or a temporary altar in front of you. You light the candle with a wooden match. You say your verses in a voice command. If it doesn't sound strong the first time you say it again. Three times if you want. And then you fold up your verses and put it on the plate and watch your candle flame. See what it does, because it'll tell you how the spell is working. It'll probably go to a dampened flame for a while. As it works through resistance, the flame will come up tall and strong. Let it burn for 30 minutes and then blow it out. Don't snuff it out. Blow it out. Just broadcast the spell. There's a number of broadcasters that work with these operations. How you do it, your sonics, the symbols you used, and the symbols themselves, if you notice, have what's called brilliance or broadcasters. Those are those lines. If you look on the $1 bill, they're all over the place. Those are those little lines that go out from around a symbol. Those are called brilliance. And they are broadcasters. They send that energy out. So they're to be included in pellets. They're not just artistic. And as I said, you can do your spell more than once. And then you want to do a checkup reading after a week or so to see how it's doing. A tarot reading. Just like you did on the original second reading. The Magi on top of the spell subject and see how's it going, what's it doing. Now, rarely, but occasionally, you may have to take a spell down if it goes awry. Something, who knows what, wasn't proper. I did my first spell and I put an enforcer into it, and George didn't say anything and catch it, and I didn't catch it, and it just didn't work well at all. In fact, it was about bankrupting me, and I had to finally take it down. So how do you take a spell down? You repeat the operation exactly as the first time. That's the beauty of having your Book of Shadows and the carved candle still there, because you don't have to carve a new one. If you burn the candle all the way down, you got to carve a new one. And anoint it exactly the way the first one. So save your candle. So you do just like you did. If you can approximate the time of day, that's great. And you light the candle. You always light the candle first, and then you say your verses, just the way you did originally. And then instead of saying spell will spin and spell will go as the until all be done it be so, you instead say in a very loud commanding voice, spell will spin and spell will go as the first may it be so. You let the candle burn for 3 or 4 or 5 minutes, and then you say to kill the spell and stop it now. You snuff it out and break the candle. Or if you don't want to break the candle, snuff it out and cut lines on it with your thumb. And then that sends an overtake spell to the first and takes it down. That's the only way that you can take a spell down. There is no other way. You can send a spell away that someone else has done. We will teach in a further class with a mirror and so forth. That's different. That's a mirror back. This is how you take a spell down. So, So, questions or comments on any of this, Sharon?
Not right now.
I know it's a lot to take in.
Yeah, there's something I have to read through and go over.
Yeah, it's just a series of steps, okay? It's totally doable. And, you know, it's just a question of how much energy you all want to put into doing a spell. I'm not requiring you to do a spell, but I feel it would be good for you to do the steps up, at least the readings and the proposal, so you know how.
Mm-hmm.
But when I went to these classes, we all did, in 1 week, we did a spell. We did directors and limiters in 1 week, and next week we carved our candles and set out our spell. It's just that simple. And then we did a tarot spell to boot in the following week, which is where we made a whole course just for that, because they're very complex. They're a lot of work. But this is doable. This is the real way magic is done. And this is, you see a lot of people playing around with a lot of stuff, but you will rarely see people go to all these steps like this. This is the way you do it. Doc, questions or comments? Did we lose you?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Oh,
okay. No, you didn't lose me. I have no questions. I just, you know, I need to set aside the time to do it.
Yeah, and I will help you.
Okay.
You know, it's, I'm totally willing to help you all with your readings and so forth, and your verses and all of that. And as you said, it just takes a little time and a little focus.
Mm-hmm.
And they're fun.
Okay.
So that's basically it. Next week we'll talk about multiple candle spells, and then the following week simulacrum magic, and then we'll be done. This course will be over. So if you want to do this within the scope of this course, you know, get your readings done and to me as quick as you can. And your proposed directives and limiters, so I can work on those two at the same time. And we'll go from there, okay?
Okay.
Alrighty. Wonderful you all so much.
Thank you.